So, who are you? Where are we? What are we going to talk about?
Okay. I'm Toby Richards. I'm the General Manager of Community Support Services at Microsoft. We're going to talk a little bit about what Community Support Services does. We'll specifically talk about investments that we're making in the Microsoft Most Valuable Professional Program, as well as some of the things that we're doing to improve community experience with Microsoft and on Microsoft.com.
So what's your title and what are you responsible for here at Microsoft?
Okay.
And your background?
Okay. My title's General Manager of Community Support Services. We have basically three strategies in my group. It's all around feedback, advocacy, and support through community. One very significant way we do that is through the MVP program and how MVPs provide a tremendous amount of value to millions of users out in the world today, providing a great amount of support, doing a great job for us advocating on our behalf, and a growing area in terms of the type of product feedback that MVPs give to our product teams. And so that's becoming more and more an important part of the MVP program to help improve product quality.
So what led you to the role you're in?
Well, my background at Microsoft, and even prior to Microsoft, I'm a marketer. I'm somebody who enjoys technology marketing. I had done marketing for a number of years here in the academic space and in the partner area. Then for the last, I'd say, 4.5 years, I was responsible for the company's customer satisfaction efforts. And so that's where I got very much involved and intrigued with the type of feedback that customers can give us and really ensuring that Microsoft was doing something with that feedback. And so when I think about our strategies of feedback, that fits the customer satisfaction, and advocacy, that fits the marketing side of me. And then support is a new area for me. The Community Support Services sits within Microsoft's overall support organization, yet we have a tight relationship with our marketers, with our product quality teams, our supportability teams. So the great thing about this role is its breadth across a number of different assets and groups. And when we work with MVPs, there's so many different ways in which we partner with MVPs. It's a pretty exciting place, and to be able to get that voice of community and deliver that back to Microsoft to be a better company is what I really enjoy and why I took the role.
So, a common question is there any marketing aspects to the MVP program? Generally, when you are an MVP, you're independent. You're not really marketing for Microsoft. You might have passion for a product or a service, and I think the normal thing is the marketing team just listens and hopefully ships better products and services, which makes MVPs and the customers in general more happy, and it continues the cycle of customer satisfaction.
Well, I think when you think about marketing in today's generation, just think about any sort of goods or services you're interested in. Oftentimes, I would say in most cases, you aren't just listening to the vendor telling you how great this product is. You are getting informed by a lot of different sources. You're getting it by product reviews, but most likely you are asking a user or a friend what their experience was. And so while I don't think the group of influencers we work with, MVPs or others, would like to ever be perceived that they're part of our marketing engine, to some degree they are our advocates, and so they play an important role in how Microsoft markets our products. It's not how the program started, but oftentimes when you see a real passionate user, there's a very exciting role, and that's not just for Microsoft. That is for all the millions of users out there who want to hear from these people. And so, to some degree, that's kind of where marketing kind of blends into this whole kind of support arena, is providing that level of advocacy.
So if MVPs and customers in general provide feedback, the product teams and service marketing listens, ship a better version, and the customers feel they were a part of that, then they increase their satisfaction, which indirectly increases sales, which helps marketing.
Yeah.
So there's this whole connection, But it's not this direct thing where suddenly the MEP program is about marketing at all. It's just more of a it's a long tail
thing. Rarely do I see a community marketing strategy. We see the company understands that community and influencers is a way in which customers in general want to get support and understand how products are used and best practices and things like that. And so when I think about a general product life cycle, while we award MVPs for what they do to support us, we make a connection of those MVPs to product groups. They, like you said, they make the product they help us make the product better because they're the ones who know the different scenarios that the technologies are being used in. And ultimately, when we make those changes, the MVPs are all excited, and when the next version comes out, they're out there helping us advocate the new value proposition of the product. So it's an interesting cycle when you think about kind of the post-sales and how that the post-sales support type of component of the life cycle and how that feeds right back into the next version and when we release new products.
When people that aren't too, and Microsoft especially, that aren't too into computing, they ask, what's the community stuff in general? Is it just about answering tech questions online? And the two things I usually bring up are, it's good to make the customers an extension of the product teams themselves, so that they're like a part of it. They're providing feedback, and you know, they really have a voice. So when you ship a new version, they're a part of it. And the other is to have more Microsoft people involved in the community. You know, if a Microsoft person, they have the blue shirt on, they go to an event, they're kind of part of the community and not just some person that you just say hello to, shake hands, and
right.
That's it. They can go hang out with you and have a nice conversation. It could be, you know, about something that's not off Microsoft topic in general, but you're part of it in the community, and there's a passion there,
yeah. You
know, and it's like one bigger community.
When I think about how Microsoft has improved over the years in terms of customer satisfaction, it's because we have made a much stronger effort in connecting with customers. Mm-hmm. Microsoft's always been a listening company, but oftentimes we would do it, you know, in the early days, we'd kind of wait till version 3 until the product was great. Now customers expect version 1 to be a great product, and so you have to have much better customer connection in order to be a successful company in today's digital age. And it's not just Microsoft, it's any company out there. The work that Starbucks is doing today on their idea site that they've launched, where you can come in and, hey, Starbucks, I think this would be a great idea, or this would be a great idea. Then customers can vote on other customers' ideas, and now Starbucks is looking at that, saying, oh, that's great feedback. We really appreciate it. We didn't think of that idea. And so getting more engineers involved in the community, creating forums and opportunities where community can come together and share ideas and rate content is what today's private sector really needs to do in order to create a much better service and a much better product. The age of the internet has really helped to create a more social type of way in which companies can connect. And if you don't do it, then it's going to be difficult to succeed. And so I think we've made a lot of investments, and as we have seen specifically with the developer community, our customer satisfaction grow tremendously. We had a lot of opportunities to improve. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say we're done, but we're making really good progress.
So another word that for a while it was a buzzword, but it's still a valid word to bring up, and that's transparency. I mean, Channel 9 itself had a big role in that. Blogs have a big role
absolutely.
In that. But just for people not only to have a better insight of, you know, Microsoft, like you're going behind the door of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and seeing how the candy is made, that you're actually understanding how thoughts and decisions are made. People are talking about what's coming next when they can. And, the technology, the internet, and the tools and everything have really evolved the whole community effort and the MVP program, whereas when it started, it was just CompuServe.
Right.
People.
Right.
And then it was before anybody had a web browser.
Yeah, if you think about the quote social media technologies of the past, if it was a CompuServe or some sort of listserv, fairly reactive technology. So it wasn't really possible to have that level of transparent relationship. Mm-hmm. Where today, now you've got the web-based forums, you've got the tagging, you've got the ability to rate other users' comments and that sort of thing. So that level of transparency is providing for much more open dialogue. I think opportunity that we have is being able to take that feedback, being transparent with customers on how we are using it, and then and whether or not the end solution is exactly what somebody had suggested, people even just appreciate knowing that we took the feedback and we actually considered it, and there was actually a point in time where we made a decision whether to do something or not. Today we have a complaint management system process, and I suppose we manage roughly about 350,000 complaints a year. And, you know, for the most part, a lot of that's a black hole to people. I mean, oftentimes, you know, their problems get fixed, but they're not quite sure where things are going. And so the more that we can use community and social media technologies and get more people involved, not only within the community, but within Microsoft involved, I think we can create a more transparent environment.
One thing that's really interesting about the MVP program itself is that it creates a whole sub-community within itself. And MVPs get to know each other really well. They certainly help each other really well. They sometimes partner up with each other, or, you know, there's just a lot of some friends, everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might meet at the summit and they kind of feel like they really know each other because they communicate even though they're like 8,000 miles away.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so that's a big aspect. And then at the same time, the MVPs really help people who aren't MVPs.
Right.
They might write books. They help online. So people that aren't MVP say, I'm never going to be an MVP. They, even if they don't think about it, they really benefit from it.
So what's your question?
Well, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
So, with that kind of a foundation, where do you see the picture of the MVP program? Like the different categories where we are, and is it going to stay the way it is? You know, because some people kind of know, hey, there's a Visual Basic MVP, there's a Xbox Office MVP, or Windows Live.
Sure.
And so what's the scope of it all?
Yeah, when I think about kind of the future of the MVP program, I do look at it amongst kind of those three stages of the product life cycle, and the type of feedback that MVPs can provide to make a product better, the types of opportunities that we can partner with an MVP in terms of advocating new technologies, and then obviously the traditional aspect of what MVP has been around support. I think we've got opportunities in all of those areas, in particular in the feedback area. We can do a lot more in terms of engaging MVPs with the product teams. And there's a high percentage of MVPs who really enjoy that. Clearly, the folks in the developer area love doing that. The types of MVPs who are kind of in the IT professional kind of category of users really enjoy that. Sometimes on more of the consumer side, that's not as important, but we know that and we recognize how important those power users are, and recognizing the fact that there is a lot of just consumers out there who need that level of support. And so, you know, I think we could be thinking a little bit differently about how we treat those types of MVPs in ways that are meaningful to them. The power home user may not care about getting an MSDN subscription, but there may be something else that would be a value to them. So I think we have to be thinking about the types of MVPs a little bit differently, and thus that will dictate kind of the types of interactions we have with Microsoft and the product teams. One thing that you mentioned was the community that exists amongst MVPs. I would love to say that we created all that. I think we have an opportunity to do even a better job of really ensuring that people understand who shares similar interests. You know, the way in which we communicate and help connect MVPs today is fairly limited, and I think MVPs would say, yeah, I could use a little bit better experience online as an MVP. And so We're going to be investing more in our online platform to create a better destination for MVPs to find the people that they share common interests in. But we also certainly do a fairly good job when we bring the MVPs together for our summit. And this last summit was the first time that we put together these open space sessions that were ideas that MVPs had, and the only people participating there were MVPs. And so seeing that firsthand, how that community came together, was a really exciting thing. And we'll do more of that. We do it geographically today, so there's a lot of opportunity if you're an MVP in South Africa or in Singapore. There's plenty of opportunities there, but oftentimes they don't share the same technical interests. So.
Was this last MVP summit earlier this year the first time you attended one?
No, I've been to two MVP summits. So I was not in my current role.
Yeah, okay.
In my current role, this last MVP summit
and
was my
what
very
was,
first
what's
summit.
Your big picture takeaway? You know,
The MVP summits is a very powerful event. Knowing how much we spend on the thing, I scratch my head wondering, man, is it worth it? But when I see the amount of sessions that we were able to deliver between product group and MVP, and the type of feedback I was seeing, you know, whether you're sitting in the ASP.NET sessions or you were in the Mac Office session or you were in the SharePoint session, the amount of dialogue happening between MVPs and decision makers was very powerful. That was great. And then the open space opportunity where MVPs were determining what topics they wanted to share with each other and engaging on topics that were really meaningful to them and seeing that community develop, those were probably the two most powerful things that I witnessed at the MVP Summit. So, rest assured, we'll continue doing it, even though I continue to struggle with the amount of money it takes to feed people and to provide transportation.
One of the things that I've found is that while MVPs have their own opinions and they also have their own little list of things they would like Microsoft to do with their product or whatever, a lot of them will be representatives of their community. Yeah. Meaning you come in and it's... They might say, oh, I would like to see this. Many times they're like, what people want is this, because they're listening to either bugs, complaints, trends, areas that need improvement, and they'll say, well, this is something you need to fix, even if it relates to some compatibility issue or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, it's like a representative or ambassador for the community.
Well, no, when I think about the work we can do to strengthen the MVP program on the feedback side, mm-hmm. To some degree, it's a tip for people who want to continue. People love being in the program and want to continue it. And when we get to the feedback piece, being the objective representative, I think, is the most critical. I do believe that a majority of the Microsoft community that really understands MVPs really, truly understands that. Like, these people, for every one MVP, they represent 100, 1,000. Users that have a similar need, but the more that an MVP can do to represent and prioritize, to represent a community and really prioritize the key issues, the more effective they'll be with the product groups, regardless if they're an MVP or not. That's what we're really looking for. We're looking for their representation and a level of how hot of an issue is this? Is it really something that's pervasive? And that might be across a technology. That might be in a geography. Hey, in the country of Russia, this is an important feature. And Microsoft might be sitting there going, wow, well, Russia is an important growth market for us. And so the more that we can see that level of representation creates a lot of good opportunity. And we need to figure out long-term with our program, how do we award feedback? We don't award feedback today.
Yeah. It's helping others.
It's more the award today is about helping others, and so the next stage of it will incorporate more around the quality of feedback, not always the quantity of feedback. There's a difference. We get a lot of quantity.
Yeah, it's not like you immediately go to Connect and submit as many.
Exactly. I'm not going to be counting the number of submissions you have. I'm going to look at the quality of, and the quality is going to dictate. Is going to be dictated by that level of representation that we just talked about.
So earlier you were talking about the overall competency programs, whatever, and in recent times there have been some almost like restructuring mm-hmm. of the competency and then there were some, you know, pros and cons impacted. Want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. What I really like about the competency realignment is that we can clearly identify an MVP and the product team in which the product team who really cares about that community. So I think we've done a nice job with alignment between product group and MVP. And frankly, as I said, especially with IT professionals and developers and many of the power users in the consumer space, having that level of connection with product group is really important, both ways. I think what competency realignment failed to deliver on was some unique scenarios where there's an expert who has an expertise across many technologies. And maybe they're not necessarily deep in any given one, but in general, when they think about interoperability, architecture, I'll just say things like security, things like that cross a number of technology boundaries, competency realignment probably didn't hit a home run there. So we've got opportunity there. When you think about MVP, I mean, when I think about MVP, I think about it's an elite group of influential community contributors. And community contributors, that might be in supporting customers with answers, that might be in blogs and articles and books and that sort of thing. And I think we have to rethink a couple of these categories. Architects is one specific one that we are reevaluating since we rolled out competency realignment. And how do we make sure that we have a program that is meaningful to them? And frankly, we probably have to do some work to rebuild some trust, because I think the architects in this particular case felt as if that we ignored them in this process. And so, change is hard, and oftentimes we don't. The effect of change oftentimes doesn't necessarily materialize until it's happened. And so we're reevaluating those situations. The architect one, I can guarantee you, we're looking at and hope to be able to announce some sort of program probably in the next 6 months.
So are you sometimes reviewing the request for a new category, a new competency, and then comparing whether you need to create a new one or kind of merge it in with something else? Let's say a brand new product comes along. And there is like a community there, but it's not huge. Or maybe the pool of MVP people that would qualify to MVP, maybe a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, and is it something they'd say, oh, let's just create a new, you know, FUBAR MVP group, or do you manage it in some way where it's mixed together? And then how does that relate to, you're almost too broad. You don't want to get so broad there's no direct connection back to the team.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge, isn't it? Because you don't want to, you know, go past too far on how many different categories there are.
Yeah, you don't want. Yeah, I don't want to create a program that's so confusing that MVPs don't understand it and Microsoft people don't understand it. So there is kind of a tricky amount of rationalization that has to occur in terms of what's the reality in the marketplace versus what are some of the Microsoft's key priorities. An interesting example is virtualization. Now, there's probably a community on virtualization, but I doubt there's a lot who are like completely tied into Microsoft's virtualization technology. Well, I know that's a key strategic area for Microsoft. So that's a case in which, wow, we have to get a little bit more aggressive in identifying those type of people. The tricky thing being is, you know, what is the community out there in the marketplace, and is it ready for that? I mean, in the virtualization space, I'm fairly confident that the market is ready for that, so I don't have any doubt. And so you have to look at it with a balanced view in terms of what the market is ready for versus what Microsoft needs to drive, and then make some decisions. Now, we probably won't grow the MVP program dramatically. At the end of the day, we are part of a business, and I have to meet financial budgets and things like that. And so we'll ultimately have to make some trade-offs, especially, you know, if there's a new major category that appears and we find that we need to dramatically increase the amount of MVPs to just cover the amount of users who need support on it, we may have to make some cuts in other areas. Internet Explorer 8 is a perfect example. Internet Explorer is a technology used by every, well, I won't say every, but, you know, a large population of users. And so that's an area where I'm thinking, we have some opportunity there. Virtualization, like I said, is another. So it's a tricky balance, but we'll start to make some difficult trade-offs in over the course of the next year, 18 months, and make some changes in those areas.
So is there some, you know, ongoing this, you know, planning around how do you deal with an MVP who spends about half their time in one competency and half their time another? Let's say it could be ASP.NET and C#, or it could be Office and Windows Live. Generally, they end up falling into one category, even though they continue to do the other. And so there are times where you might look at someone as a multiple category person.
Right.
But generally, their primary is one, and then they have this kind of sub thing.
Right.
What are your roadmap thoughts on?
Yeah. Well, when we created the competency realignment, we gave the MVP the ability to select other key areas of interest. I wouldn't say we enabled that very well, other than at the MVP Summit. The MVP Summit actually demonstrated the fact that people could go to a bunch of different tracks that they had never been able to do so in the past. The problem being that the MVP Summit only attracts about 40% of the overall MVP community. So at the end of the day, there's, you know, thousands of users out there who have these other interests who, on a regular basis, aren't getting any sort of benefit by having selected that. And so we have to better enable the entire population of MVPs to be able to get a level of familiarity and discussion with the different product groups. Now, there may be some where that secondary or third interest may just mean you just get more information, and maybe it's at the level in which we deliver to our partners. You know, we've got hundreds of thousands of partners out there that we have a great portal and deliver great information that I think is of value to people. There may be, though, some experiences and product areas that secondary and third area of interest does require a deeper level of product group interaction. And frankly, I think there's product groups out there that recognize that as well. I mean, I think of BizTalk, I think of SQL, obviously the languages and things like that, where we need to do a better job enabling that experience.
So if an MVP is, you know, some category, and then they have a subcategory and they checkbox it, it appears it's a little more of a labeling thing, and it's not like an automatic notification to that other team saying this MVP sub-labeled themselves, and that they suddenly just directly engaging that.
That is correct. My interpretation would be is an MVP sees that and has much higher expectations than what we've enabled today. So I'm not. There are no hard and fast rules in terms of how it is. I'm glad that we've been able to identify it. Mm. Step one. Step two is we've got to be more mindful and provide more of a framework internally at Microsoft on how you think about that secondary interest and how you treat those.
So earlier we were talking about the MVP Summit. Now, is there, you know, based on your first one in this role and the, you know, reviews, the chats you've had internally here about that one, is there anything you could talk about, like the road to the next MVP Summit? Like what would, you know, the couple thousand people that come to the next one, you know, it's the first week of March now?
First week of March.
Just things that you, even if you're not sure about, but you can say, hey, we're thinking about this, whether it's a change in this or is it too early to say?
I mean, I wouldn't say, so for the next MVP Summit in 2009, I wouldn't expect a massive format change then from this year. I think this year having the balance of the opportunities we created for the community to develop and find common interest, that was this year's innovation, and we will continue that. And the amount of product group interactions that we had, we increased, I think, by at least 20% this year. We had about 550 separate sessions. We'll continue that. I think we have to improve the quality of different tracks. I think some categories of MVPs felt a little bit shortchanged. At the time, we weren't talking a lot about Windows 7, and so that was an area where people expressed a little bit of frustration. And so we got to make sure that we kind of have an equal bar in terms of MVP expectations with the different types of interactions. I do want to just make sure that quality is job one. I actually would be fine doing 100 less sessions, but knowing that the majority of them were really high quality.
Right.
And so so I think we've got some opportunities on the quality bar. But I think the format will remain the same. We may decide that there are particular areas that we would start to talk about that may not necessarily have a large community, but hopefully would provide a level of interest where people would convene and want to get more information on. So I think we have some opportunity there, especially with some of the newer technologies coming out.
So in the next year outlook, would you say that the area of competencies and the overall program itself remains pretty much intact with ongoing improvements in specific areas, or do you foresee some major shakeup changes?
I don't anticipate a major shakeup in MVP. I think we've got opportunities to improve the criteria. We talked about the feedback piece, awarding people who've got maybe a more of a breadth of expertise. The architect one, so we've got to kind of rebuild some trust on that one. So I don't see a major thing. I do see an opportunity where with the MVP program making a stronger link with our web-based forums, the news group versus forums debate continues. I understand why MVPs love news groups. There's a long history. Just the long history, there's a level of, for the power answerer, there's a level of productivity that the news groups provide that the forums don't. The reality is, though, all of Microsoft's investments right now are going into forums, and I do feel as if, confidently, that ultimately will be a great experience. Today, we don't have the reader. We don't have an offline capability for that. But the ability to add rich content, the ratings, the much better profiling and things like that, for the long term, that's going to be a great place for end users. And we've got to make it a great place for influencers like MVPs. The nice thing is that the work that we're doing in forums today actually extends beyond some of the categories that MVPs are involved in. And so we're doing work right now in the consumer space, building some Vista consumer forums. My team is involved in our partner program and creating partner forums to help provide support to the systems integrators out in the world. So we're doing a number of things kind of beyond the MVP program to help build out the value proposition of the web-based forum experience. At the same time, looking at, in order to be a great experience for MVPs, what are some of the things that we need to do to match some capabilities in the news group? So oftentimes people want to hear, well, when's the date, what's the date news groups get shut off? I don't really think there is that date.
Yeah.
I think that they'll remain because there are people who just love the experience.
What Microsoft presence there might.
Yeah, so our presence may start to dwindle down. And today I've got the support of 150 Microsoft engineers in our different support centers providing support, and we'll continue to push that into the web-based forum area because we want to create a great destination. And by seeding great content, we create great destination. So
in areas of improvement, would you say that actually technology itself, as in online tools and client tools in general, will help enable the community stuff better? Whether it's a forum and providing feedback, it's improving Connect or other things like that. So is that that's an aggressive area right now of planning?
Yeah, improving the community experience through the use of new technologies is a key area of focus, both for the MVP part of our business as well as more general set of influencers and the way in which Microsoft employees engage in community.
Yes.
That's a critical part of this. Again, companies, it's one thing for us to put out a great community destination and it only being run by community. It's even more powerful to have Microsoft participating more actively in it to create that level of transparency that we talked about. Really, for Microsoft engineers to understand how users are deploying technologies, using technologies, advocating technologies is a very powerful way to do business these days. And so by creating that great destination for all types is an important area of focus for us.
Would you say an example that is, well, an offline forum reader, if that ever came about, would be useful to someone who's not only an MVP but also just someone asking questions online, but it may inspire more Microsoft employees to participate as well? Tools relate to how frequent and successful you are sometimes.
Well, the interesting thing is when you think about the tools, the productivity tools to engage with community. I would have thought that most employees, if we just said, well, here's this web-based thing, that they're just going to jump all over it. Well, take the Exchange group. Mm-hmm. Exchange has been the Exchange team has been using Outlook for eons, and so they were the first group to say, well, once you have this offline reader, we're ready to go. Or once you embed the forum capabilities into Outlook, the reality is...
And mobile. Maybe eventually there could be some interesting things
with mobile. So, I think the opportunity for us to reach a set of power users, MVPs, or a set of users who offline capabilities have always been an important part of their job, that's how technology will help to kind of improve their lives. So the offline stuff is still going to be a very important investment for us in this area. So, and until then, it's going to be hard to lure a lot of MVPs into the forums. I mean, I could do so much around ratings and rich web video content, things like that. But until...
But if you get more Microsoft employees spending time there, likely more MVPs will hang out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, and so the good news is that we continue to get more and more.
So a common thing you say to MVPs in person or online, whatever, is thank you. Now, is there anything else that you could, at this time, it's kind of almost not quite halfway between summits. What do you say to MVPs and your own outlook on, the next year or so in the MVP program?
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure, thank you is always in order for all the work that MVPs do, whether it's with feedback or advocating on our behalf or supporting the millions of users out there. I would say that there is more to come. While you may not expect a massive change in the MVP program, you have our commitment to improving the experience, and we have a long way to go there. And so that's probably, besides creating great destinations for community, revitalizing the MVP program is a priority for my team this year. And so be a lot of opportunity around the types of product group interactions that we can create, as well as in how we engage with MVPs online. Through the way in which we communicate.
So a common question a lot of people get here, especially here at Microsoft, is if someone is not an MVP, how do I become an MVP? Now, you can sometimes rattle off a list of things that they might consider. The thing that I sometimes found successful is instead of asking someone that works at Microsoft, go talk to one or more MVPs, get their opinion, and if you are nominated to be a future MVP by another MVPs, that goes a long way. It's just not something you just say, I want to qualify or fill out a form.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody fills out a form to become MVP, but if other MVPs say, this gal should be an MVP, then that's a good ticket.
Well, the interesting thing, compare the MVP award with a certification. Think about all the people who got certified on Microsoft Technologies or Novell Technologies in the late 90s. That was... People saw that level of certifications, slam dunk, tremendous opportunity. Then there became this period of time where people were getting the paper certification. They were jamming through the test, they got the study guide, yet had spent very little time with the technology itself. And I know we've done a tremendous amount, the industry has, around certification. The great thing about being nominated for being an MVP is there is a definitive vote of confidence that you as an individual are an expert. And while we don't necessarily have as many awards as we may for a certification, that sort of thing, to the point you make in terms of that level, that nomination from another MVP, mm-hmm. or that nomination from a product group that you may be helping, goes a long way. So, you know, there's not a lot. You can't, unfortunately, with the MVP award, you can't check the box.
Yeah.
It's not a paper MVP award. It really comes down to the credibility that you have created within a community and within within Microsoft in terms of the contributions that you've made to really help improve the lives of users out in the world.
Cool. Well, good luck in all the efforts towards the next summit, and we'll be talking to MVPs more then.
Great. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Bye.